You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Welcome in to Right Side Radio on News Talk 770 AM and 92.5 FM. I'm Ray Melick, obviously not Phil Williams, who is off today. I'm joined here with my co-host for the day, Brian Dawson, who is the CEO of 1819 News. I guess I should have said that I'm the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, which you can get us all on 1819news.com. This is a little bit of a different setup here for us doing radio from where we are. But, Brian, good to have we'll figure this out some way.
Yeah, bear with us.
Yeah.
Neither of us are technically gifted, but here we are. So, well, yeah, definitely glad to be here. Glad to be filling in for Phil.
Yes, fill in for Phil.
Hopefully he's having a good time with his wife as they're traveling, and we'll be able to keep you entertained for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, he skipped out Friday and today, but we'll be back tomorrow. And I can say this much, people will be glad to have him back after listening to us
for
the rest of the afternoon. Yeah, we're going to cover a whole bunch of topics today, and of course we'll take your phone calls as we get going along as well, but we've got 1819news.com for those of you who are not familiar with what we're doing. We are a full-service news site for the state of Alabama. And again, 1819news.com. You can read the latest of our news coverage of Montgomery, of around the state, different areas. And we have podcasts. And Brian, this is really something you've been involved in from the beginning. And might be good to sort of explain from your perspective as the CEO what we're doing here and what we've endeavor to bring to the people of Alabama.
Sure. So, yeah, as you said, 1819 News is a statewide, state-focused multimedia company, news and multimedia company, working towards being a news and multimedia empire, and we're on our way. I think one of the coolest things is that, you know, it was an idea right out a year ago. It was the exact same time that Phil started his radio show that the idea for 1819 News came about. So it was an idea a year ago, launched the website in October, and from October to here we are in March, we've already made some serious waves in Alabama, down in Montgomery, and really all over the state. So what we wanted to do was solve the media problem. My background is in national news, national media, national fundraising, national politics, national public policy, working in those spaces, and, you know, leading up to, I guess, the election, the November 2020 election, and then the subsequent, I'm doing scare quotes, you can't see me because we're on radio, insurrection, you know, fake insurrection. Between those two things, I really just became disenfranchised with the national media, national politics, national political scene. And at the same time, my pastor was preaching on localism. And, you know, as he was preaching, fathers need to fix their families. Families need to be involved in churches. Churches are part of communities. Those communities make up cities, and those cities make up counties, and counties make up a state. And that's actually the winning strategy, is to start local. And so I came home from church, and I prayed with my wife and said, you know, how can I use my gifts, talents, and abilities that I've grown in my career to make a difference here in the state of Alabama? And about 2 weeks after that, the opportunity to start 1819 News really fell in my lap. And so total answer to prayer, and I really feel, you know, that God is doing something in the state of Alabama. And Right Side Radio and 1819 News get to be a part of that. And so we wanted to solve two problems, is the conversation of creating a statewide news company. You have two problems really in the media. There's actually kind of a third that makes up a three-legged stool. The first is shamed. The people of Alabama are being shamed for their way of life by one media outlet. And the other media outlet, we're essentially being shielded from the truth. And so you have AL.com on one hand, who's constantly pumping out content that pushes against the grain of really what the values that make up most Alabamians. You know, they tell us we're a bunch of no-good, dirty rednecks. How dare you, you bitter clingers, bitterly clinging to your guns and your Bibles and voting for Donald Trump. And I always say, if Greta Thunberg was a news outlet, it would be AL.com. How dare you? And so, you know, that's not good. And then on the other hand, you have outlets that are supposed to be decidedly not AL.com, and while they might not be radical leftists telling us how stupid we are, they aren't doing the investigative journalism and the real reporting that needs done. And a lot of that is the fact that they essentially exist to be PR firms for special interests and the administration, right? They say not, they write nice fluff pieces about a lot of the people that are causing the problems in Montgomery. And so that's how they pay their bills. They're not really incentivized to go and dig and report on the things that are going on in Montgomery that are causing havoc for the people of Alabama. And so in order to fix that shielded from the truth problem, we put together a stellar news team, starting with the man who's actually hosting in for Phil now, letting me talk, Ray Melick, who is the editor-in-chief of the publication. One of the most respected journalists, and it's weird saying this because he starts blushing when I start talking about how great he is, but one of the most respected journalists in the state of Alabama. We went to him. He loved the vision, and God had really been, I guess, speaking to him and his wife as he was about to retire from Gary Palmer's office and possibly buy a small town newspaper and just do it right. And as we shared the vision of 1819, he said, "Well, that sounds like what you fellas are trying to do, but you just want to do a little bit bigger." I said, "Yes, sir. That's what we want to do." And he says, "Well, the only way," and he'll tell his part of the story, but this is how I remember it. You know, "The only way I'm going to do this is if I can do journalism the way that I learned it and the way that I'd always done it, you know, back in the day when journalism was real." And he said, that's all we would ever want you to do. And so we got Ray. He hired Erica Thomas to be our managing editor. We have a copy editor, so we have a full editorial board. We just got Jeff Porter come on as our political editor. Brandon Mosley is our senior reporter. Craig Monger is our Montgomery beat reporter. We just hired another young guy to be our general assignment reporter. And so our staff just continues to grow. So we're putting out not only a quantity, but it's really good quality content as well. And so we're fixing that shielded from the truth problem by having – oh, and then I forgot to mention Sean Taylor. Sean Patrick Taylor is our investigative journalist. And so we have people who are doing that hard work of exposing things and digging, but also celebrating the things that are good about the state. And that's the other part. So we fixed the shielded from the truth problem by putting together that news team. And then the shamed Alabamians being shamed by this other media outlet, we really want to tell the stories of Alabama that make it such a good, true, and beautiful place to live. You know, I think AL.com put out a little while ago an article that said that Alabama was the fourth saddest state in the nation, or the fourth unhappiest state in the nation. And so, and I always bring that up. They're like, "Why do you keep bringing that up?" And it's like, well, if you think about it, this is AL.com as in Alabama. This is the media outlet of record. They're the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And they published a piece that's patently false. Like, you can't objectively say that Alabama is the fourth unhappiest state. And it just it baffles my mind that they would publish that in their news outlet. So that being the case, we want to tell stories that celebrate Alabama. We've got incredible people from Bear Bryant to Helen Keller and everyone in between. We have, the stuff that's going on in Huntsville is absolutely unbelievable, from the aeronautical stuff that's going on. It's incredible. And then Birmingham's an economic powerhouse, the port in Mobile. The industry that's just, you know, the timber industry, all these things. Alabama's an exceptional place. And we feel that there needs to be a media outlet that actually celebrates the state and the people of the state that are good and criticizes the government that's not.
Yeah, and at the same time, we are a full service news site, and we have reported on stories like the cyber attacks or the threat of cyber attacks on Huntsville with NASA and Redstone Arsenal, all of that up there. The mask mandates that I know were a big deal in Madison County, the Huntsville news stories as well. We're not just a feel-good site. There's too much going on that you do have to report on. One of that, and we'll talk about that a lot during the show, some of the issues the state's facing. A gambling bill that keeps coming up and will never die, and it seems like no matter how many times this thing comes up and doesn't get out of the House, nevertheless, the gambling interests refuse to go away. We've got an issue in schools that our state legislature, for as long as I can remember, believes that the answer is always throw more money at it. So that we've got the largest education budget we've ever had, which tops the largest budget we'd ever had they passed last year, which topped the largest budget we'd ever had, which was the year before. You get the picture, I think. So
yeah.
There's issues going on there as well. We've got governors and Senate races, election leaders races going all over the state that we'll talk about and dive into, because I think they're important, particularly as we look at the major candidates for Senate to replace Richard Shelby and, of course, governor. It's amazing to me, and we'll talk about this in more detail, but for Governor Ivey, who polls to be as popular as she is, yet there's a fairly large slate of people that feel like they can do a better job. And normally you don't get that. Normally on the Republican side or Democratic side, if you've got a governor that polls well that everybody seems to like, that party stays home. But this is one time they didn't. So a lot to talk about, a lot that we've covered in 1819 News, and we'll go on from there. But and also take your calls. And the phone number is 866-494-9866, which is 866-494-WVNN. Call in, give us a talk, share your opinion. This is Right Side Radio. As Phil likes to say, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And we'll have a full conversation of that. Later on, Justin Bogey, who is an economic analyst for Alabama Policy Institute, will join us. We'll talk more about things budget as well. So hope to have some fun. It's a little awkward here sometimes. Can't hear quite as well as we'd like to, but we will figure that out as we go along. And with that, stick around. We've got a message coming up from some of Phil's commercial sponsors. And then Brian Dawson, Ray Mellick will be back with you at Right Side Radio and right after this. Filling in today for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. As he says, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You can join the conversation at 866-494-9866. We'd be happy to talk to you about whatever. Let me start over. I jumped in too early, but we're glad to have you on Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. Normally, Phil is sitting in this seat. He is out today. I'm Ray Mellick. I'm the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. And Brian Dawson, CEO of 1819 News. And we're figuring this out as we go, Brian. So hope you'll bear with us. However, you can join the conversation, 866-494-9866. Brian, it's a kind of a quick segment. We'll carry this over. But I saw where Senator Dale Williams said again this weekend that gambling will be brought up in the Senate. And it will be... it continues to be attempted to be foisted on the people of Alabama, but they don't ever seem to want let the people of Alabama vote on it, whatever it may be, whether it's just lottery or whether it's full-fledged gambling.
Yeah, it's Del Marsh, though, right?
Yes.
That was Del Marsh. Okay. So, yeah, Del Marsh. And again, so anytime you hear anyone saying, we want the people to decide, okay, always, yes, the people deciding is the principle of conservatives, and that's why they use that language, because, well, of course we want to let the people decide. Well, here's the problem. These special interest groups, specifically the legacy gambling lobby that exists in the state of Alabama, have been dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into advertising talking about lottery and not full-blown gambling casinos. And so they always attach the two. There's probably a desire in the state of Alabama to have scratch tickets and the profits may or may not, you know, benefit education or whatever. But, you know, and, you know, aren't you tired of going across the state lines to get your scratch tickets? Well, we can fix that with this, you know, this lottery bill. And so they attach it to the lottery. They put $100 million in advertising or what, I don't know what the number is, just a massive amount of money into advertising to come across TVs and radios talking about lottery and how good it is and all these other things. And so everyone's basically brainwashed at that point into thinking that the legislation is lottery legislation when it's full-blown gambling legislation that is giving five exclusive licenses to entities that exist in the state, handpicking who's going to get them, and which is also not a conservative principle to pick winners and losers, right? And then their names will be emblazoned into the Alabama state constitution so that they have exclusive rights to run full-blown gambling casinos in perpetuity. And so, yeah, when Del Marsh says, oh, we just need to let the people decide, he knows full well that they've been running, you know, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars worth of commercials selling the people of Alabama a lottery bill. But what the people of Alabama didn't know last year, and hopefully they do this year because we have Right Side Radio and we have 1819 News, and a lot of people are waking up, is that that lottery bill that they're selling with those commercials is connected to a full-blown gambling casino bill where they're handpicking the people who've been thumbing their nose at the law for the last 20 or 30 years to be the ones who get these exclusive casino licenses.
You know, and it's interesting because Del Mar says a high percentage of Alabamians want to have a vote on the lottery and a very high percentage want gaming in general. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that, but I've not seen those polls. I've not seen those numbers. I do think there are a percentage of people that would like to at least have the vote on the lottery. While I may not be in favor of a lottery personally, I get the fact we've been hammered with that for so many years. But it really comes down to people voting, and it almost makes me wonder, you know, when they keep telling us everybody wants it, everybody wants it, everybody wants it. But until there's actually a vote, we don't know that everybody wants it or not. And I'm just not convinced it's as popular of an idea for gaming overall.
Gambling.
Gambling overall. Yeah, yeah, that's the word they use is gaming. Yeah. When in fact, it's gambling. And it continues to be out there, and it keeps debating within the House, the House and the Senate, but it never seems to get out to people. And I've, again, not seen the polls that Senator Marsh talks about that says a majority of Alabamians want this.
Yeah, and again, you know, what's gonna what is it gonna say on the? It's the thing that you fill in the bubbles when you go to vote. There's a word for it that's just escaping me. Yes, a ballot. Thank you, Ray. That's why we keep him around. What is it going to say? What's that little, you know, one-line description of that amendment? What is that going to say? It's not going to say full-blown gambling casinos, right? It's going to say lottery or something like that. And then that amendment that you're actually voting on is not going to be lottery. It's going to be casinos. Yeah. That's the ticket.
And, you know, I think it gets into, too, just what that looks like and where it goes from there. We'll talk some more about that. Love to have your conversation as well. You can call us at 866-494-9866. This is Right Side Radio. Normally Phil Williams, where we're solid, conservative, and just plain right. So join us. I'm Ray Melick, Editor-in-Chief, 1819 News. Brian Dawson, CEO of 1819 News. We'll be here with you for the rest of the afternoon talking a number of issues on Right Side Radio on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Welcome back in to, I start to say 1819 Radio, but this is Right Side Radio.
Yeah,
we're with 1819 News. I'm Ray Melick, along with Brian Dawson, filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio here at News Talk 770 AM and 92.5 FM. Happy to do that today. We were talking a little bit before the break there on the gambling bill, which the Senate has passed before. It usually gets to the House and has an issue, although I think this time it's actually come out of the committee in the House. But what it really does is establishes six casino locations, four at the current dog tracks that are around the state, and then a couple of others. It also legalizes a statewide lottery and sports gambling, betting on sporting events, which in this state is incredibly popular, although illegal.
Yeah.
Although I guess with internet gaming now, that may not be the illegality it once was. But again, I think that what always gets lost here is we've become so inundated with the idea of a lottery and all the people driving to Tennessee and Georgia and Mississippi to buy their scratch cards and play lottery tickets, and we're just missing out on all this money. But we don't always talk about the fact this is full-blown casino gambling that will be opening up in a limited number of venues around the state, predetermined who will control those casinos, which I think is, even for those of us who may be against gambling, if we're going to do it, we need to open it up, I believe, to people who have done it in other places and done it right and done it well, as opposed to just rewarding the people who in some cases have been doing it illegally and other cases are protected as the Porch Band of Creek Indians are because of their Native American status.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's exactly right. And it's not about a moral argument of are you for this or against this. That's not what this bill is. Now, there may be a time for that argument of a moral argument. Are you for or are you against this gambling or lottery or whatever? Phil always says, you know, we can destroy this bill before we ever even talk about gambling or lottery, right? Just because of the nature of hand selecting the people who are going to be running the casinos. Anytime the government picks who's going to have something, you know that's going to be rife with corruption. What kind of money was exchanged in order to get those exclusive licenses, all these type of things. And so it's fertile for corruption from that standpoint, and then also rewarding people who've been thumbing their nose at the law for 20 or 30 years by giving them. And the amount of money, we had Ken Johnson on our podcast last week, who's the, I guess, legislative affairs person as it pertains strictly to gambling for the Alabama Policy Institute, who's down walking the halls in the State House working on this. And I don't remember what the numbers were, but it's an astronomical amount of money that these people stand to make. And that's why they're invested and, investing so heavily into pushing this legislation through. There's a lot of money to be had.
And, you know, on the one hand, I've heard the representatives for the Porch Band of Creek Indians say that we want gambling regulated, and therefore they do it already. They do it right by their viewpoint. You talk to the gambling proponents, they say we're aware there may be a problem with problem gamblers, although every billboard, obviously, they put up there, hey, if you have a problem with gambling, you can call this number and we'll get dealt with. They've even said so much they keep track of who are the high-rolling gamblers, and they know the people that have problem gambling, although I don't really know how you do that. And therefore, don't we feel better leaving it in the hands of the people who have already done it? And remember, the Porch Creek Band of Indians are bidding on a casino in Pennsylvania, one in outside of Chicago. I think they've got properties in the Caribbean. So, you know, they have done this and done this very well, but I don't blame them for wanting a monopoly on this. They've had the stronghold on gambling here, and they want to continue to have that stronghold. I just feel like there are people like Wynn, there are people like Harris, there are other people that that do really well with gambling. Why not give them a chance to see what they can offer, and they may be able to give a greater return on the money than what the Porch Band of Creek Indians is offering, or these dog track owners when they open up casinos.
Yeah, and think about that argument. Like, let's say, you know, another issue. Like, let's bring it in. So, like, say when they were legalizing marijuana last year, and they're like, hey, you know what's going to make this a lot safer is if we get these people who've been selling drugs illegally for the last 20 or 30 years, and we'll have them come in and tell us how to sell dope. Right? Like that, like, yeah. What? You know, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's crazy. And so if you take the, you know, the Band of Porch Creek Indians argument to its logical conclusion, that would tell you that we need to open this up, and we need to have Trump in here bidding on casinos. We need to have Steve Wynn in here bidding on casinos and all those other groups. Because you want to talk about people who are professionals. I mean, those people are doing it all over the world. And so, again, that's me making an argument that has nothing to do with the moral merits of, you know, casinos, gambling, or lottery. That's just from a pure free market perspective of if we're going to do this, there's certainly better ways. And I think Donald Trump Jr. chimed in. There's a very similar bill that got introduced last year. It's very, very similar to the one that is this year. And Donald Trump Jr. chimed in and said that this was the worst piece of gambling legislation he's ever seen. And obviously the Trump family is very invested in you know, gambling with the stuff they have in Atlantic City and all the others. So, you know, for him to even come in and say, hey, you don't need to pass this legislation, and he's a very pro-gambling guy, right? Like, there's no wondering if he has any qualms about gambling, but it was just like, this bill is atrocious, so...
You know, and again, I know we said the morality of it was a great debate back in the 1990s when this first came up under Governor Siegelman, and I know that it was voted down very overwhelmingly at the time, and a lot of that had to do with people that just felt like gambling was not something that they thought the state ought to be building its future around or on. It seems like just it's like water on a rock. They keep hoping to just wear that part down from people to where now I think people are just sort of, okay, fine, just get it over with. We're tired of hearing about it.
Yep.
The interesting thing, though, is, you know, it used to always be like, let's just focus on the lottery for a minute. We need an education lottery, and this money's going to go to education, and we're bad in education. This is really going to help our schools. So we're going to offer scholarships like Georgia has done, and we can talk about where those the Hope scholarships in Georgia right now. But the truth is, the state doesn't need the money. We'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock segment with Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute. But the state's rolling in money. So this really isn't even a case of, hey, this money will really help education. This money will really help the state in some other area where it needs money. This really just comes down to, do you want to be able to play a lottery or go into a casino and gamble or not? Because yeah. It's no longer a financial issue for this state. And for many years, that was the one thing people would say is, okay, great. This is a way to get money into the state. Maybe we need to increase our revenues. Since 2012, the state's rolling in money and has not had to go into proration and has record budgets and record rainy day funds. So it's not economics anymore.
Yeah. No, and it's just like anything else. You know, when you attach something that you can't disagree with it, right? And so Black Lives Matter is a perfect example, right? You come in and you name your crazy, like, psycho Marxist group Black Lives Matter. And so when someone's like, hey, I think those people are doing some things that aren't good, so you don't think Black Lives Matter? Well, no, we definitely think that Black Lives Matter. So you support Black Lives Matter, and you get into this yeah. this type of a thing. Well, it's the same thing they're doing with education is, you know, oh, so you don't like kids? You don't like teachers? Well, no, I mean, I do. I don't think we should have gambling. Oh, so you hate children. I understand. That makes sense. You're like, well, what in the world? And so they always attach it to this thing that is just like, you can never say that it's bad, right? And they attach it to that, and then they ram it down your throat with it. So, but yeah, exactly. We don't need the money in education right now. Their coffers are overflowing with money. And, you know, it's not like our education's getting any better anyway. I think the more money you throw at it, the worse it gets. I guess that's a conversation for a later hour we'll probably have.
That one could go on for hours and hours about the education problems here in this state and the fact that we spend more money in education than the states around us, and yet we rank 52nd. You know, and yeah. People go, how do you even finish 52nd? Well, when Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia are ahead of you, that's saying something. Puerto Rico's got a lot of problems, but apparently education compared to the people in Puerto Rico are going, thank God for Alabama.
Yeah.
Maybe that tells you all you need to know.
We could be last, but yeah. There's Alabama.
No, we got Alabama here. So, you know, and I think for people out there that want to take action, you know, one of the issues is, and I've said this before about state legislatures, when the people walk in the hall, the lobbyists are there and they're coming into your office every day and they're your buddies and your pals, and they're telling you this, well, you start listening to them because you hear them every day. The people who are out there making a living, raising their family, working jobs, don't have the time to be down there walking the halls of the state house to try to get their legislators to vote for them. Ironically, the state legislatures are supposed to represent those people that are out there raising their family and working their jobs and doing those things and can't be in Montgomery. So they send somebody to represent them, which are the legislatures. But the legislators get there and all they hear from are either the lobbyists for the gambling or the AEA or whoever it may be.
Yeah, whatever special interest
group. And it's like they've forgotten the people.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah. And you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, they're good people. They just – and it's like, okay, well – I'm not going to go into whether they're good people or not good people. I have no idea. I hear lots of rumors that make me think they're not good people, but that's neither here nor there. With some of them, let's not broad brushstroke it, right? Of course, there's people down there that are good people, and there's people down there that maybe aren't so much. But it's like anybody who has a job, and you take an oath to uphold the state constitution, the United States Constitution, and to represent your constituency. And then you go down there and you don't do that. And so that's a problem, right? You've taken an oath to do this and then you don't do it. And so, well, it's hard and, you know, there is all these other people in my ear and everything else, but you're supposed to be representing your constituency. Are you making yourself available to go out and hear from your constituency, the people who voted you in? Do you know what it is that they want? Or are you just happy that the special interest people are cutting fat checks to your campaign so that you can get reelected? Right. And so, I mean, you worked for Congressman Gary Palmer. You guys were doing town halls all the time. Every time he was back stateside,
right.
You were, you know, taking him around. He was meeting his people. He was talking to them. And that's why he's one of the most popular congressmen out there, is because he takes that responsibility of representation seriously. A lot of the ones in Montgomery don't. And some of that is the fact that people don't pay attention to what's going on in Montgomery, and that is a problem. Is the national focus. Everyone's focused on what Joe Biden's doing, what Putin's doing, what Trudeau's doing, and all these other things, and they don't understand that the things that are happening in Montgomery, they're getting sold up the river by these people, and they don't even know it. And that was one of the things that we wanted to do at 1819 News, was make sure that the people of Alabama had a good source for news of what was going on in Montgomery. That was one thing, one piece of what we wanted to do, because quite frankly, people have no idea what's going on down there. Last year, when we this gambling legislation that we've been talking about, no one knew. I mean, no one knew. Now you have Right Side Radio, you have 1819 News, you have groups like Local Alabama with Allison Sinclair, Thatcher Coalition with Stephanie Holden Smith, Eagle Forum with Uni Smith and Becky Gerritsen. All of us, you know, are kind of a bullhorn to a bunch of people who have woken up, and they've woken up because of how crazy things have gotten. And, you know, I guess go into that when you have a lot of people were politically agnostic. They would be the ostrich with their head in the sand, not paying any attention to what was going on. And they felt, you know, what's the big deal? It'll take care of itself, or it doesn't affect me, or whatever their excuse was to have their head in the sand. Well, you had, you know, what was, you know, a questionable election. That's the way I'll say it, to put it nicely. There was certainly chicanery in the election, the fake insurrection, COVID business closures, COVID school closures, forced masks on children, forced vaccinations, all of this stuff going on with COVID, people being told that, you know, they're not essential and their business isn't essential. Critical race theory being taught in schools, social emotional learning being taught in schools, transgender inclusion being taught in schools. And you look at what happened in Virginia. That girl was raped by a boy who was wearing a skirt that went into the locker room and raped her. And when it came to the father went to the school board meeting to talk about it, he ended up getting in a fist fight with someone who said that, you know, he didn't believe it. And then the media sided with it's crazy. And so I say all that to say, all the ostriches with their heads in the sand have removed their heads from the sand, and they're looking around. And now there's organizations like Right Side Radio, 1819 News, and the others that I said that are putting the information out there. And that's what I mean. I think there's something really incredible going on in the state of Alabama and really all over. But I think what's going on in Alabama is truly special and unique. People are waking up. And we have the most conservative population in the country, no doubt about it. We just need to get our legislation to start to reflect our people.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's really just a matter of giving people the chance to vote. I think that, but you have to have information to know what's in a bill or what they're doing or what they're working on or where the influences are coming from. I know we've got Robert that wants to talk about a gambling bill, but we've got to get a break here, and we'll get to him right after we get back. But we'll take more phone calls as we get going on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Phil Williams not in. I'm Ray Mellick, along with Brian Dawson. We appreciate you hanging out with us today. A couple of amateurs, but we enjoy and look forward to your conversation. And we'll do that when we get back right after this. Welcome back into Right Side Radio. Phil Williams normally in this spot. I'm Ray Mellick. I'm the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. You can see our work as a full-service news site at 1819news.com, along with Brian Dawson, the CEO of 1819 News. We have podcasts as well, full service of ways to get information. Our goal really is just to educate the people of Alabama, let them know what's going on, talk about things that are important from a way that reflects and respects Alabama values and conservative values. That doesn't mean we're saying we're always right. We're just saying, hey, these are the things you need to know about, you need to think about. We were talking about gambling, and we asked Robert from Athens to hang on through the break. Robert, pleased to welcome you in. I am Ray. He is Brian. You've got the mic.
Hi. I want to tell you that I have purchased legalized liquor in Alabama, a legal lottery ticket in Tennessee and legal marijuana in Illinois, and I don't do that anymore. And the reason is I have learned you can't drink your way to prosperity, you cannot smoke your way to prosperity, and you cannot gamble your way to prosperity.
Well, that is definitely true, and but you know the people that are gambling to prosperity are the ones that know that, and they build the casinos.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Robert, you are making politicians and gangsters happy. That's it. Education will remain 52nd or 53rd or 54th or 55th in the American Empire. Alabama isn't going to get better with gambling.
Great. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate that call. That's Robert from Athens, who sits up there almost on the border of Tennessee and no doubt sees those people that go across the border. You know, we used to have the joke about how I went to Vegas in a $50,000 Cadillac and I came home in a $200,000 Greyhound bus.
Yeah,
I lost the Cadillac, you know. And the other thing about, you know, again, I'm not a gambler. I've never bought a lottery ticket. I don't, you know, people that do, that's fine. It really is just a redistribution of wealth, though. I mean, it doesn't produce anything new. It's taking my money or your money, re-spinning it around, and then somebody else gets it, but the casino always gets their share. They don't build these big giant hotels and put on these great big shows because they're losing money.
That's right.
That's one of the basic tenets of gambling, is the house always wins. But this wraps up the first hour of Right Side Radio here on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Phil Williams out today. Ray Mellick and Brian Dawson bring you home this afternoon. Stick with us. We'll be right back on Right Side Radio.